Lord. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Hallelujah. The amazing metropolis of God Himself. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you really want to be a part of what God is doing in this region. And I just want to encourage each of you that we remember last Thursday, we ended with the statement that each of you are more than enough. See, we've got to truly understand that there's no part of humanity that God did not have a part of bringing forth. I want you to know that it's not just that he breathed into the first Adam. I want you to know that the scientists and doctors have proven that when that baby is conceived, they have no idea how it happens, what takes place. But they say that there's a clear substance that yet after years of study, they still can't determine what it is because it's the nature, spirit, and the move of God that initiates life. So I want you to know that even the Lord hasn't said in the word that, you know, he breathed into that first Adam. I want you to know that God is still breathing life into every person that ever comes onto this earth. And I want each of you to know that you are so priceless and so precious that all the trillions and billions and quadruple whatever the dollars are in the world would not be enough to pay for you. Each of us needs to remember that it took the holy, pure blood of our perfect Lord and Savior, really God himself, that when I could swear by no other, I had to swear by myself. You are the apple of his eye. He never sleeps nor slumbers. That's right, Moni. God is always looking out for you. Always, always, without fail. Woo, he loves his Moni. He does. You're precious. And he loves every one of you. And we're just going to step into this night seeking him, asking him, thanking him, exalting him, worshiping him. And I tell you what, God's presence is already in this atmosphere. I'm telling you, if you need healed, I believe God's just going to heal tonight. I'm telling you, if you need your spirit stirred up, if you need your spirit, no, if you need your spirit stirred up, I like it when I create my own vocabulary. Hallelujah to you. But anyhow, the presence of God is on us. Let's step into him, because I tell you what, he wants you to come. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Please just open it up and let me in. If we seek him, he will be found, and he will supernaturally infuse our life with his goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Enough. Do you know what your issue is? Is that you don't believe that you're more than enough. Amen. It isn't that God hasn't given you everything to prove to you that you're more than enough for Him. It's not that God hasn't put His Spirit inside of you. Jesus lives in you. That's more than enough. Jesus don't live in trashy places. He won't be where sin is. He won't be where there's a place that's not holy. And so if He lives within you, you're more than enough. See, that's what our problem is today, is that we'll hear And we'll tell everybody else who they are in Christ. And the God will deliver you out of every heartache, every brokenness, every place of everything. God will deliver you. But when it comes to looking in the mirror and telling ourselves, that's when we stop believing that God is who He says He is. And that His word is for me as much as it is for you and for you. We've got to understand that as much as I believe it for Him, I believe it for me. So we have to get to a place with God where we're begging Him for your presence, Lord God. Your presence, Lord God, is more than anything. It can break every yoke. It can break every place of bondage. How do we get to His presence? We know His word. We pray. We seek. We talk to Him. We spend fellowship and time with Him to get His presence in so that everything that we hear and hear is what He tells us and not what the world or what the enemy tries to continue to tell you. So we're going to go back into this presence. And I want you just to focus on Him. And you make a commitment with God today that you're going to believe that you are who He says you are. That you're more than enough. Amen? Amen.
Your presence is an open door.
Presence.
We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never
song.
Ever been a ball game to where your team lost? Or watched a game or been in a board game at home and you lost? Was your voice different than the person who won? Listen, in my house, we're competitive. So if you lose in our house, we're going to be like, oh, you're kidding. Like, it's just a downtrodden. I can't believe I just lost that. But if we won, woo! We got this. I won. Ha, I beat you. Like, victory has a different sound than defeat does. Victory has a different sound than defeat does. Defeat sounds like this. Do you? Because when I get victory, victory sounds like hallelujah! I hear the sound! Amen? There's a different sound to victory than there is defeat. And some of you have got to start screaming victory out of your mouth and hearing the sound yourself instead of being silent and allowing the devil to keep coming in and keep coming in. You're suffering silently. You're suffering silently. You won't tell nobody what hurts. You won't tell nobody what's bothering you. You're suffering silently. So why don't you give a shout out to God aloud and let the enemy hear that what you're doing's not working, because I'm going to praise. I'm going to lift my God up because he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo!
On your faithfulness, my hope is held in your promises. I'll take each step with your confidence, 'cause I am yours. I am yours. You greater things.
Life. They aren't walking your walk. They don't fight your battle. You do. So if you're going to say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to look at this fight from the victory. I just want you to raise your hands up. I want you to raise your hands up and just say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I see this fight from the victory. And I know this is but a light thing. And I know that you have gone before me. And the victory is mine. Lord, I trust you with everything. Father God, now I just pray. You've heard the words they've spoken. We just bind the enemy from bringing doubt and unbelief. It doesn't live in this body. It doesn't live in that body, Lord God. We have faith and we trust in you. We know that you are the God of the impossible. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing is impossible with you. That greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. I thank you that you came to set free every captive, to break every chain, every chain, every chain of addiction I call to fall off right now in Jesus' name. Every person in here that doesn't feel like they're enough or they're good enough, I just call that to go in Jesus' name. I call the voices that speak to their mind to stop in the name of Jesus, and I speak freedom over their mind. Father God, freedom over their mind that they're going to get into your word. They're going to take responsibility for themselves and say, you know what? I'm tired of living the way I've always lived. I'm going to do something different, God, and I'm going to really pursue you. Lord, give them just a desire that's in them that they can't even sleep until they get in your word. They can't even eat until they talk to you, Father God. That you are the most important thing of their day. Because, Lord, we're tired of allowing an enemy to come in and wreak havoc over lives when you came and you set us free. We're going to believe you over everybody else, Lord God, over every anything else. We're going to accept and walk in what you've done. And we're not going to look at you and say that what you did was not enough because we won't believe for ourselves. Lord, we take a stand today and say, I choose. I choose to trust in you. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we got some announcements we want to get out. There was some festivities going on at the Bodkins campus this Saturday. It is canceled because it is 100% chance that it's going to rain. And so they can't be outside doing what they were doing in the rain. So if you were planning on going to Bodkins on Saturday to Only Believe Ministries, it is canceled because of rain. Okay. Women, we are going shopping this Saturday.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Are you going shopping for me?
No.
That's exactly what I thought. Hallelujah.
Simone, do you think I should go shopping for him?
No.
What? Simone, moan, you said no? Oh, man, yeah, I'm girl. Crushed today. I'm crushed.
We've taught her the girl code already.
Yeah, she's already all up in that girl code.
Her mama's got it.
Hallelujah. We're in trouble. Praise the Lord.
We're going to leave at 8 o'clock, so make sure you're here, ready to go. Leave by 8 o'clock. If you're hearing this for the first time, don't fret. You can come with us. We're meeting here at 8 o'clock. We still have some room on the. We have a 15-passenger van that we're going to be driving down to Columbus. We're going to go to Polaris, kind of shop around there, eat there because they have the better restaurants around that area. And then after we get done eating lunch, we're going to take off and we're going to go to the Tanger Outlets. I think that's what it's called. Yep. And shop there for a little bit, and then head home when we're done. So if you have not said you're coming, it's not too late to say you're coming. Let me know. And I do need to know, because if we get more than 15 ladies, I need to set up another driver to come. You can't come.
I mean, isn't this the Christmas shopping?
No. It is shopping for us.
That's true.
No.
No.
Why do you think it's Christmas shopping?
Yeah.
I think he's got them both.
Christmas is a couple months away. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet.
Amen.
Now. What? Listen, he is ready for president.
Amen. Praise God.
Grandma.
Grandma.
Grandma's not even coming. So what are you all excited about?
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Tell her she should come with us.
Amen.
Buy you some Christmas presents, even though no. That's not what we're doing. No, you can do whatever you want.
Hey, you guys are all looking good. You guys are all looking good in that back row, but I want to say hi to you guys back there. Amen.
What do you got, girl? What's going on?
Okay, your mom said that Christmas takes all your money and it ruins your wallet.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah.
It's not about the presents, Jameson. It's about celebrating the life of Jesus and the gift that he's given us of his salvation. Gifts are nice too.
Yeah. Hallelujah. But
your mama's right.
Amen.
Your mama ain't lying.
Amen. Ow. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to do that.
Sunday? Bring your Sharpie, Sunday. Immediately after the second service, we are going to journey over to the building, all of those who can, and I want you to have your best scriptures, and we're going to write them right on the beams inside that building, so that when we put those walls up, we know that the Word of God is even embedded in that building itself. Amen.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, baby.
No, I was just going to say, and if you're taking little ones over there, you're responsible for watching them.
Yeah.
And if they're too little, carry them, because this is a construction site.
So there is
nails
stuff around,
laying around, and they've got things like steel that they've cut the edges off of and all that stuff. So you want to keep a good eye on them when you're over there, okay?
Amen, amen. I might have to preach the gospel while we're out there for at least 5 or 10 minutes.
We just don't want anybody getting hurt, but it is a construction site. So there is some things that, you know, you just have to watch where you're walking, and we'll try our best to go over maybe tomorrow when we're over there to pick up nails and stuff, but that doesn't mean more won't get there.
Too, so they need to be careful on that driveway.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a construction site.
Amen.
What it's supposed to
That's
be
That's what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Now, before you get sit down, we have someone who I need to come up here. Miss Lori, come up here and just, he has a little something to say.
Ooh,
just
come
a
on,
little
Miss Lori.
Exhortation and thanks to the church. So, I don't think she's happy about the walk, but praise God. Amen.
I wanted to take a minute and thank each and every person who's prayed, taken us places, brought us food. All of you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you guys. We love you. Love you. We love you. And that's what family does. We don't just want to sit in the pew with you. We want to be involved in you with your life because we love you. Amen. And that's how it should be. Amen. That's what the body of Christ does. Don't get me fired up. I'm telling you.
I know I'm about to preach off on it, but I'm not going to because I'm not preaching tonight.
Do you want to preach tonight?
No.
Huh? You got something all up in you?
I feel the Lord stirring.
You want to tag team preach?
I don't know, but this is what I'm thinking. So are you going to do offering later?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what came up in me that you don't understand.
Children can go to children.
What happens when you reach out and touch somebody?
Amen.
You don't understand how you change the moment for somebody. We were talking about it on the prayer table
Amen.
This morning. And how some of us are private.
Really?
You didn't know.
Really?
And you'll never hear us tell you that we're struggling. There are just so many of us that are like this because we've been raised to be strong. You're a strong woman, gird it up, and get over it. That's the way we were raised. We played sports, you got hurt, get in there, get some tape on that ankle, and get right back out there. This isn't a time and during the game that you get to lay down and play hurt. And so in our walk with the Lord, this is not a time we get to lay down and play hurt
Amen.
Because somebody spoke to us wrong or somebody treated us wrong or something's going wrong in our life that we're just believing God in faith for. We just walk the walk. And that can get draining on you. So why are we not looking at people and seeing the look? Mm. You know the look.
Mm-hmm.
The glazed eyes, the tiredness, the depression starting to creep in, even though they'll encourage you in a heartbeat. And reaching out to them and loving on them and telling them that God's got you. Listen, it'll mean the world to somebody. They're broken, they're hurt, and they don't know how to fight maybe anymore. But your hug, your word of encouragement, hey, can we go out to coffee and can we just talk? And it just could be fellowship. I'm telling you, could bring a change that changes in that home. And now victory was always coming, but they see the victory now. Amen?
Amen.
We are to be our brother's keeper. We keep talking about this. Why are we the body of Christ? What do you do when one of your family, blood family members are hurt? You go get them. You go to their house and you see if they're okay. When my mom was sick, we went down there almost every single weekend to take Amen. Care of her and say, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Now, am I telling you to go to somebody's house every single weekend? No, that's not what I'm telling you. We don't go to somebody's house every single weekend. There's a lot of people. And so you have to meet the needs of the masses. But what I'm telling you is if you see the need, if you see somebody broken, do what Jesus did to you when you were broken.
Mm-hmm.
We don't come and we get set free and we get to walk a life of freedom now, free from all of that bondage so that we can sit here and just relax in our own freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The word says that they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by what?
Amen. Amen. The word of the testimony.
It's time to start standing up, hugging somebody, and saying, you know what? I don't know exactly how you feel, but I've been through some
Amen.
Struggles,
Amen.
And I know that God will bring you through this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because what he's done for me, he will do for you, and he is
yes.
faithful.
Amen.
Very and just, faithful. Sometimes somebody just needs somebody to listen to them.
Yes.
Just listen. Phil, listen to me and don't try to fix it.
Amen. Praise the name
Amen.
Of the Lord.
And sometimes our spouses don't know how to do that. And so we need a girlfriend to talk to or a guy friend to talk to that can just listen to us. Amen? That's
Amen.
The job of the body of Christ. It
Amen.
Isn't just he and I's job
Amen.
To go visit somebody that's sick. It isn't just he and I's job to go to the hospital. It isn't just he and I's job to go feed somebody if they need it.
Amen.
Although it is our job. But it's the body of Christ's job to lift one another up. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think I have a word. I just think I have a kind of encouragement.
Okay.
I'm just
Amen.
Full of them.
I guess so.
Full of them.
Full of them. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Well, I tell you what, you guys are about to ready to get a double portion. Amen. Because I want to pick right up on some things that we talked about. And we ended up last week talking about how Hebrews 11:6 says that those who come to God must know who he is. And that word know is the word intimacy. It means that you must discover God, how he operates, what his love is. You must discover him like the closest relationships ever in your life. The way a mother clings to a child, the way a father raises up a child, the way we as people enter into relationships, the way you become husband and wife, that scripture is saying that in order for you to live that powerful life of faith, you must come and discover who he is. You have to put the word in you. You have to discover who God is and how to live within the guidelines of what God has set down. Because I'm telling you, to live outside of a relationship with God is certainly going to be a struggling, miserable mess your whole life. Amen. You're going to have moments of goodness and moments of this, but overall, you're going to suffer the loss and the abuse of being destroyed by the enemy when you don't do things God's way. I mean, I hate to tell you, but all the ways of man is ignorant. When you try to do things your own way and you try to do it, listen, you're going to end up in destruction. You're going to destroy things. You're going to touch your marriage wrongfully. You're going to touch people wrongfully. And you're going to do it in a way that does not please God or that can't help you get where you want to be successful. Whereas the Bible says that we know the way of success. And it is to fear the God, read his word, stay connected to God's way of doing stuff. And that's how you will come into the places of just being blessed. So tonight, I want to remind you once again who you are to God. I want to remind you what a precious treasure you are, because that will help you accept the fact that if God loves you, he obviously desires the best for you and has already made arrangements for you. So the Bible says here in the book of Micah chapter 6, and it says in verse 8, he has, meaning God, has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? You know, sometimes when people start thinking, well, what does God require? What does he want from me? Can I do what God wants me to do? We try to build it up into all this difficulty, but we're going to see here that it says, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? You know, if we would just do what is right, I mean, quit destroying the covenant relationship God gives you. If you're husband and wife, be husband and wife. You're not enemies. Don't be fighting against each other. Love each other. If you're brothers and sisters, let's walk within the relationships that God has given us. When we go to work, let's work as unto the Lord. What are Christians doing getting fired from jobs? What are Christians doing having to quit jobs because they feel stressed? I tell you what you're doing. You're creating a situation where you are not letting God infuse what he gave to you. Some of you pray for your jobs and ask God for them. Then you get in them and you forget God. You pick it up and start doing it on your own power and your own strength. That's no way for us to live. We have got to see the requirements of God and walk it out the way God wants us to do. I'm going to go to the book of Deuteronomy because I really love how God is pressing into us tonight about who we are in him and how he feels about us. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to start reading, we're going to look at verse 6. It says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to a thousand generations. Uh-oh. But he does put this in here. We got to get to the tough stuff as well as the good stuff. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his fullest. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. I want you to see something. That people will think that that is so harsh what God says there, but it's not harsh at all. First of all, the Lord wants you to have a clear path understanding of where you're going. You should know that you are headed to heaven, and you should know that you're headed to hell. And I want you to know that if we don't live within his commandments, if we don't do things God's way, we're going to face that burning lake of fire. And there's no way around it, so we don't pretend to not talk about it. The other thing is, why does God repay people for evil, for not loving him, for not following him? Because people that do evil works are the very cause of other people to not ever come to the Lord. We have a whole lot. Hey, look at that handsome young man. Late is always better than not at all, brother. Praise God. Thank you for coming. You just stirred my faith up. Amen. Now listen to me. I want you to hear me now. Why must God repay those who hate him and that are wicked and that never receive him? Because they are used of the devil to destroy other lives. We got so many people that are hurt, broken, won't even come to church because how nasty men and women have been to them. And it's not even our fault that people don't have a hope just because of how other people have treated them. So I want you to know something. There's a reason why God makes you take accountability for living a sinful life and breaking. Hey, praise God. That's the way to do it, brother. It's ready to be late than never. Amen. Come on in. Hallelujah. You're looking good tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Lord. And he wants us to understand that he teaches us how the word says, not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. I tell you what, if you were visiting your mama or a best friend of yours and you came walking up to the porch and all of a sudden a big Rottweiler came over and bit the fire snot out of you and hurt your arm, you would say, what in the world? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have came up on the porch. I mean, when we see people have tragedy and other people don't do their job, if a child ends up neglected or outside in the middle of winter, 2-3-year-old child, they find them outside, you're going to be all over that parent. What a bad mother. What a bad. How could you do that? Why? Because you expect them to tell those children right and wrong. You expect them to discipline those children for right and wrong. And here you are, a grown person, trying to hypocritically mock, deny, or look for excuses to not live God's way. Then when your life ends up a wreck, you want to blame God. Listen, I tell you what, if your child were to spill a whole bunch of stuff at home and get into something they weren't supposed to be, and they looked at you and said, Mommy, Daddy, this is your fault, they're going to get beat twice as much. How? Huh? Well, you're going to whip them twice as much. But what I'm telling you is, why would you purposely, knowingly, like, I didn't do it on purpose. You're a liar. I didn't sleep with her on purpose. You're a liar. I didn't steal on purpose. You're a liar. I didn't get drunk on purpose. You're a liar. You intended to get drunk. You intended to cheat. You intended to mess around. You intended to do everything you did because you had thoughts beforehand that you could have heeded. Going right in there to sleep around trying to pretend like you didn't intentionally do it. You're a liar. Now, I love you, taking drugs and stuff and acting like you didn't intend to do it. Stop all that. Because if you come real with God, He will infuse you with the supernatural strength to redeem you out of that stuff. Time right now is the time for salvation. We think that that's just talking about giving our heart to the Lord. Well, I'm going to get saved. The time is now for salvation. No, the time of now for salvation is every day, every moment, every act you do. Salvation is not just repentance and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Salvation is, I could do it that way, but I refuse. Now I'm delivered, I'm saved from the destruction of the devil. Half of us let stupid stuff happen in our relationships, in our thinking, in our way of doing stuff, and then we become entrapped and embittered with all this stuff that we got to dig out of when God rescued you from the thing in the beginning by giving you the word. And I want you to know something, that God loves you so much that if you grab a hold of him, you cannot fail. It is impossible for you to lose with the Lord in your life. He even overcame death, hell, and the grave for you. And I need you to really see how much God loves you. God chose you not because you were a perfect person. God didn't choose you because you had money. God didn't choose you for any of those things. He chose you because he created you to be who you are. God is profoundly proud of, and God profoundly loves every one of us who he has created. He has created us, and he loves every one of us. Now, I want to stay in the book of Deuteronomy so you don't hurt your hands too much turning your Bible, but we're just going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 12 for you tonight. And it says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him?" Wow. That's all God requires, is that we would have a reverential love, fear for him in such way that we would honor him and walk in his ways. "And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now, I'm going to keep pressing into you on this because I want you to know, if all you're going to do is give God a half-hearted, halfway sacrifice, if you're only going to submit half your life to him, if you're going to keep areas that you do your own way, I'm telling you, you can never be prospered and blessed to the degree God wants you prospered and blessed. There's one way to do it, and that's all in, Charlie. Hallelujah. That's all in. There ain't no sidestepping. There ain't no tiptoeing around the tulip. There ain't no, I'm going to touch the edge of the water and just, you know, I just want God around when I need something from him. I just want God around to rescue me when I get so. I want to make as many mistakes as I can. I want to live as close to sin and darkness. I want to live as close to doing things my own way as I possibly can. But I want God to rescue me every time. No, no, no. God loves you with his whole heart. So much so that he was willing to die for you and did and was resurrected. You should love God the same way. Listen, you should not have any area of your life that's untouchable to God. And we should be so dug into him that just like he would die for us, we should be willing to die for him. If we would have that kind of approach to God, if we would have that kind of approach to the Bible, if we'd have that kind of approach to the God life, listen to me, we would live in the supernatural, extraordinary realms of God every day of our life. I mean, every time, if you think about it, every time you really, really, truly pressed into God, he answered. He came through. But our problem is that sometimes as soon as we get out of pressure, we relax our life. We relax what we should be doing. We get out of praying. We get out of reading the word. And before you know it, we set ourselves right back up for some opportunities for darkness to come. See, here's what you don't understand. It only takes you to do nothing for the devil to come with destruction in your future. See, what you think is that you're just a person born on this earth. The truth is, you are a purpose sent by God to do the extraordinary in this lifetime. You are purposed to be here. You just didn't come and get born by accident and by happenstance. No, no, no. God knew exactly when and who would be on this earth. Amen. And he sent you for a purpose, and that is beyond just being what you think you're supposed to be. It is to be a born-again, full-out believer that no matter what relationship you're working within, if it's your spouse, if it's your children, if it's your job, if it's just going into the store, I need you to understand something. There is a realm of God around you that if you would just receive of him, he would activate your faith to do things. Amen. It says here, I moved from where I need to be. Oh, yeah, here we go. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed, that you, after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Do you know that God has chosen you above all people? Do you know that God has chosen you, beckoned you, stirred you, and you're the very reason that he got saved? You didn't do nothing on your own. You wouldn't even know who God is. But he stirred you and moved in your heart to give you the opportunity to say, yes, I'm going to accept the fullness of my identity, and I am going to be a child of the living God. This Bible says he does execute the judgment over the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him thou shalt cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. God had increased them so much. God wants to increase you so much. We've got to really grab a hold of the fact that God loves us, we are precious, and we are his. I want to just give you one more little scripture before I get to my main topic for tonight. Hallelujah. You guys thought I was digging in deep already, didn't you? Well, I am, but we got just another step to go. I just want to read to you two little scriptures here. One of them is found in John. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, and I think it's going to be John. Yes, John 1:12. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I want you to understand that that word sons here is a plural name just for mankind, humanity. So that word includes women and children and men altogether. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, I want you to know something. This is why no one can sovereignly take up space to believe that they can ever choose the identity of what's coming through their system. Uh-oh. See, it says right here that you're not born of the will of men. You're born of the will of God. I tell you what, you have the right to believe God for a healthy baby, but I tell you what, if you think you get to choose your own gender of your child, I hate to tell you, you don't. You do get to ask God for a healthy little one. But God gets the divine. I didn't write that, did I, Roger? The Bible just said that. It ain't the will of man, it's the will of God. And so I want you to understand something. For anybody who has ever told you you're worthless, you don't count, you ain't gonna amount to nothing, you ain't worth a hill of two beans, anybody who's tried to tell you you're ugly, you're too big, you're too this, you're too that, you tell them to just shut their mouth because you are here. Even me, I'm here by the will of God. Woo! I tell you what, you don't have to like my squeaky voice. You don't have to like my skin color. You don't even have to like how I wear my clothes. It ain't none of your business because I'm here by the will of God. I want you to understand something, Nate. You don't have to meet anybody's expectations. You don't have to be worried about this or that. All you need to know is that you are here by the will of God. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Chad Smith. Hey, all you guys over here, I just want to introduce you to something. You are a creation that God himself desired to bring to this earth. Well, you can look at the moon and the sun. Y'all can look at the mountains and the ocean, and you can see the beauty. Why can't you see the beauty in you? I want you to know that when you finish your course, there will never be even a fingerprint, never even an eyelash that matches who you are. You are your own unique destined vessel. Right out of that book, your members are made, your strength comes, and you should be developing yourself through the Word of God. And the Word of God should govern every decision you make. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Boy, I know, guys, I'm getting there. I'm telling you, we're charging towards the finish of this sermon, but you guys got me stirred. I think I'm going to have to keep that other verse till next week. And I might tell you later what it is, but I'll keep that other one for next week, because that within itself is I'll be preaching a whole sermon just on one verse next week. But we're going to go right to the book of Isaiah, because I tell you, God is speaking to us in a great way. Isaiah 43, and I just want to go to verse 1, and I just want you to hear what God has to say about you. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Hello? Amen. Rick, brother, you was created by God. Yes. You were created by God. That means that not only do we have the right to have victory in this life, but we have a right to stand on his promises, to ask for his help, because God is not a God that would lie, and God is not a God that would not provide. God is the God that says, hey, I won't ever give you a rock if you ask me for a piece of bread. Amen. And I won't ever give you a serpent if you ask me for a piece of fish. Right. See, I will tell you, though, you know what half the problem is in the body of Christ? The Lord says, if you ask anything according to my will, praise the name of the Lord. Half the body of Christ wants in their life all kinds of mess that God can't have nothing to do with. Mm. I mean, I tell you what, I'm not upset about it. Yeah, I was. I was upset about it. I was going to try to say I wasn't mad about it, but I was mad about it. But I had someone trying to tell me how they were trying to use the Bible to justify some of their behaviors. And I said, it really concerns me when you're trying to step into God's salvation, but you want to try to justify the Bible to get your sins back in your life, and you act like God's going to accept that. I'm telling you right now, when I became a Christian, I'm still working at it, but I said, man, I need to run as far away from anything that would identify me as less than a Christian. I'll tell you what I want to know is, why are you looking to be close to sin? I mean, I want to run as far away. Just like the question of drinking. I mean, people try to twist the scriptures to try to say, well, Jesus drank wine, but if you knew anything about the Hebrew and Greek, you'd understand that there are two defined words between fruit juice and the alcoholic side of wine, but they're both covered in the Hebrew and Greek under that word wine. See, some of you looking at me crazy. Sunday, I'm going to bring you two words from the Hebrew and Greek that's going to tell you that, because I need you to quit trying to step yourself into false doctrine where the devil's just going to trip you up. You start drinking a little bit, the next thing I know, you're back to smoking, you're back to alcohol, you're back to drugs. And that's all he's trying to do, is get you to slip on that slope long enough to get there. I had someone tell me not too long ago that they were trying to do right, and here comes old dude talking to them, and they were getting a little weak, and the minute he got them drinking, you know what comes next. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you right now, quit trying to get the Bible to appease your sinful nature. Don't be looking into the Bible to see if it's okay for you to drink. Don't be looking into the Bible to see if you can get around and sleep around a little bit before you get married. Don't be doing that trash. This Bible is a holy covenant, and what your job is to run as far from anything that even smells with the hint of sin on it. Tell you what, when you get to heaven, you better have the DNA to get yourself in there. Because the Lord says if you come up there being a pretender, he's going to throw you out. Luke 6:46 says, the Lord tells you, why call me Lord and not do what I say? You can't call Jesus Lord and then live your own way. You can't call Jesus Lord and get filled with sin and darkness and be messing around. Then in your moment of crying out, you ask him for help when you're desperate. No, live for him. Endeavor to live for him every day. Endeavor to learn more. Endeavor to know your word. Endeavor to press into God. Endeavor to pray. This ain't always easy, but it's something that's mandatory. It's not a choice. You don't get to be a Christian and live your old way. You either disqualify yourself from being one, or you absolutely dig in and become one. Wear no false hypocritical identity. Chad, what would you do if all of a sudden you found out that behind the scenes your pastor was drinking, acting crazy, and messing around? Well, you'd say, Pastor, I'm done with this. Amen? If I was alive. Someone be dropping a pop-pop on me. Listen, no, what I want you to understand, though, is we should never be doing stuff that if the Lord would come in a moment of time, we should even have to question if we would make it. Live every day as unto the Lord as though it's your last. Amen? Now, I want you to just embrace a little bit of this. It says, when thou passest through the waters. Oh, no, I just want to get back up here to this. Did I read out of Isaiah yet? Okay. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Isn't it nice to know that you belong to the Lord? Isn't it nice to know that you don't have to fear? Because he has redeemed us. You know, that word redeemed, that means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. To compensate for the poor past practices. To atone and make amends for. To save someone and rescue them from judgment and negative outcomes. We've been redeemed. I want you to understand something, that word fear means an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat, feeling or anxiety concerning the outcome of something. Listen, we're not supposed to fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine. We belong to God. Therefore, we can cast our care upon him. We can pray every day. We can seek him. And God says, don't fear. I got you. I will help you. I'll be working on your behalf. It says right here, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. I want you to know something, that thou wast precious in the Lord's sight. Do you believe you're precious to God? You better own that. I know I do. I believe I'm all that in a bag of chips. Say amen, honey. Maybe a little too much, amen, from Regina's standpoint. Listen, I know I'm all that in a bag of chips. My girl's got her a great man, whether I look like it or not, praise the Lord. I want you to see something. The idea of being precious, do you know that that means that there's a focused attention on every aspect of you. When you are precious, do you know that that means that there is a focused intensity of not being careless with who you are? To be precious means to be of a great value, to not be wasted or treated carelessly, but to be greatly loved and treasured. This is used as a term to address someone that is a beloved person. It means that God treats you and sees you as precious. It means that he's careful to how he handles you and your life. Let me tell you something. When you have something precious like a newborn baby, you are focused, you concentrate, and you carry that little one with such care and love that nobody could ever mistake your love for that child. You are precious to your father, and he's with you. Amen? I want everyone to know that the Lord says that you are called by his name. Did you know that God literally calls you out by name? Even in the heavenlies today, I want you to know that God calls you out by name. Hallelujah. I just got to read something more to you. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons, and this means children, men and women from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him or her for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him, even everyone that is called by my name. I want to encourage you tonight. Did you know that you are more than enough for God to give his only begotten son? Do you know that God called you by name? That should let you know that you are all that and a bag of chips. That should let you know that you're a slice of pie and a cold glass of milk. That should let you know that you're a hot coffee and a fresh donut. Praise God. That should let you know that you're a Big Mac, fries, and a large root beer, whatever you like to drink. Ooh, I must be feeling the hunger buzz. But I want you to know, Miss Candy, you are like a chunk of candy to God and all that, and a bag of chips, girls, bag of Fritos. I think you like to eat Fritos every now and then. Hey, I'm telling you, God is so serious about your life that he doesn't sleep. The Bible says that your Father in heaven doesn't sleep nor slumber, that his eye is constantly going to and fro to see who he can find himself and prove himself faithful to. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak a word of life over your dear people, God. God, I speak a word of life over each of them, that, God, they would know that they are enough. Father, they would know that they were precious in your sight, Father. Lord, that they would know that you never sleep nor slumber. You are constantly forging out their life, God. And I would pray that each and every one of us would reach towards you, God. Lord, I pray that we would ask you at every moment to come into our life, God. Father, I know that there's many of us who are determined to try to do things on our own. But God, I hear you saying that is the worst mistake you could ever make. Because the truth is, your humility towards God is what proves and shows your strength. You are his. Love him as he loves you. And let's walk in the victory that God has for us. And I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.